Blog Talk Radio.
To this edition of United Christian Ambassadors Radio, also known as UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. Oh, by the way, we would like to invite you to come and worship with us at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786. We're in an upper room, and we're located near 11th Street. So come on out and say hi. Our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come and say hello to us and worship with us, okay? It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm sure the Spirit of the Lord will move. Thank you. I'd like to say a hearty hello to all of our UCA members and visitors. Okay. So now, call or text or inbox all of your friends and family members and tell them to call for this special edition of UCA Radio. And you guys know what the number to dial in is, 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. So look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Just click on the link where you see the post of today's show in order to listen on your computer. And you can also click on that same link any day and time after the broadcast. It could be this week, next week. It doesn't matter. Just click on the link and listen to the entire program. That's just in case you missed today's program. You still can listen to it, okay? All right, the title of my message today is The New Upper Room Experience. The New Upper Room Experience. What is meant by an upper room experience? The upper room experience changed the lives of many people during the days of the apostles. Many began to see the power of God working through ordinary people. You see, many people didn't know about Jesus and how great he is until after the disciples of Jesus Christ had an upper room experience. Now, Jesus did minister to many, and a lot of people followed him, but everybody still didn't know about Jesus. So the Lord anointed his people. They had an upper room experience so that this particular movement would go all throughout the region and spread across the world, even for years, even to the 1900s when a similar move happened. It was an upper room experience that really shook up the Christian world. It was called the Azusa Street Revival. There have been many small revivals since then, but nothing like the one that's coming. This last day upper room experience is going to last forever. It's the beginning of the establishment or the establishing of the kingdom of God on earth. Stay with me today for just 1 hour, and I will give you more information on how important this upper room experience will be in this day and age that we're living in right now. So stay with me. Do not go away. Stay here.
Now
Listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. Every true believer, every pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, apostle, every worker, whether you are an administrator at a church, in charge of food or clothing at a church, whether you are a minister of music, no matter what you do for the glory of God the Father, as long as you are operating under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his Spirit, you are an ambassador for Christ, which makes you a UCA member. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, as always, we ask that you open the hearts and minds of the people that have tuned into this broadcast. Help them to understand the message that's being brought forth today. It's more of a prophetic message, Lord, but we ask that you open up their understanding. Let it bring them to a place of expectancy, expecting you to move, O Lord. Bless them greatly, Lord, and help them to understand so that they can wax strong in the Spirit of the Lord and serve you more and serve you better. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The message today is the new upper room experience. You remember the upper room experience that took place on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell and filled a small group of 120 people and they changed the world during that time. You remember that? Well, there's another upper room experience on the horizon. Another upper room anointing is about to happen in this hour that will be greater than the first. This one that's coming on the horizon that's coming. This upper room experience is going to be far greater than the upper room experience on the day of Pentecost. A greater outpouring of God's Spirit is needed in this hour, an outpouring that will change Christianity forever. The Christianity today will no longer exist. That's right. The Christianity that we know today will no longer exist. We will be a much stronger, a more powerful Christianity. We will not be a political organization like many churches are today. We will no longer be a business or a worldly corporation like many churches are today. Having a need for a 501c3, which is basically permission from the government for us to operate as a church. No, we will not need permission from a world government for us to be a church. We are the called out. We are God's people. God gives us the authority. He gives us the permission to move forward. We will be so powerful that all the kings of the earth will take note. The world will finally see real, true Christianity, a perfect group of men, women, boys, and girls, highly anointed, and moving forward in perfect unity, doing God's perfect will. It's getting ready to happen. We will be able to say the same thing that Jesus said when he was reading out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 6. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That's the great and terrible day of the Lord. When you say the day of vengeance, that's the great and terrible day of the Lord. It'll be great for God's people, but terrible for God's enemies. The scripture goes on to say, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion or in the church, to give unto them beauty for ashes. The beauty is the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ for their cursed, fallen natured bodies. This is their ashes. For their cursed, fallen natured bodies, God is going to give them the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. The oil of joy for mourning. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise represents new bodies, even the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God is going to plant us deep in him. He has made us righteous. And they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. We will clean everything up. We, by the power of the Holy Spirit, shall restore the church, renew the church. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. The world will be our servants, in other words. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Ah, we shall be named the priest of the Lord because we are God's priest after the order of Melchizedek. And you remember, I preached on that before, that our priesthood is the Melchizedek priesthood. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. We are the servants of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. You see, Jesus actually read part of that scripture. He didn't read all of that I just read to you. He read part of that scripture in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Jesus read this part. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. Jesus just stopped reading right there. Why? Why didn't Jesus continue to read? Because we are going to finish or fulfill the rest of that scripture. Jesus read the part that was being fulfilled to them at that time, right in their face. That's why he went on to say in verse 21, he said, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You see, we shall complete his ministry. Understand that Jesus gave us 3.5 years of perfect ministry on earth. But it is given to us to give another 3.5 years of his perfect ministry in this hour, making a total of 7 years of plenty. The world has not seen God's perfect ministry since Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, but they are about to see it again. The world will see the kingdom of God in operation through this upper room movement, this last day great army of the Lord in this hour. This will be another upper room experience just like on the day of Pentecost, but only greater. This upper room movement or experience will heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases. They will raise the dead, no matter how long a person may have been dead. They will drive out the most powerful of demons by just speaking the word of God. The people in this new upper room experience that is about to take place will be a people who can control the weather, walk on water, multiply food. They will have creative power. They are highly anointed with the seven spirits of God resting upon them, because they will be filled with Holy Spirit, fire, and power inside of every one of them. They will truly be God's greater works people. Hear what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. This is about to happen. Christianity is going to get more than just a facelift. It's going to be renewed, revised, changed, and even glorified. People will see that wherever and whenever they see or come across one of these highly anointed Christians who have had this upper room experience, they will see, they will know for a fact that something great and powerful is about to take place right then and there. These people will be so powerful that they will be able to be transported from one place to another at the speed of light, because it will be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everything that they do will be in the name and under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and for the glory of God the Father. So if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe all that I am saying to you right now, then I say this to you right now. Prepare yourself, because your life is about to change. You are about to enter into the kingdom realm of God. You will begin to start experiencing heaven while you are here on earth, which means your life will never be the same. You will slowly but surely enter into a realm where seeing angels and having visitations from angels is the norm. You are entering into a place in God where visitations to heaven is normal. You will begin to see Jesus. Yes, that's right. I said it. You will see Jesus on a regular basis in whatever way he wants to reveal himself to you. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? It is very much possible, and you will experience it if you desire it and believe it. But don't worry with the things I'm telling you right now. If you don't desire it, if you don't believe it, then you won't get it. So don't worry about it. But understand this, for those who are believing, those who do believe and desire it, understand this. And I'm saying this loud and clear with all sincerity. You are going to literally see God. Think about that for a minute. You are a true believer. If you are really a true believer, a true believing Christian person, the day will come when you will literally see God the Father and Christ Jesus in all of his glory. It's going to happen, people. Because we are going to be in God's Holy Spirit heavenly realm, where we can hear God's voice clearly, even clearer than you hear mine right now. You will see the colors and the beauty of heaven clearly. We're entering into that place that where you stand right now, you will be able to hear his voice clearly and see the beauty of heaven, the colors, the greatness, the beings of heaven, the celestial creatures of heaven. We will be able to even smell the fragrance of the Lord. People, understand this. You are not serving God for nothing. There is so much more to your walk as a Christian than you know. We haven't even scraped the surface as far as the glory to be revealed in us and the joy we will experience. All of what I'm saying is exactly what God wants you to experience and more. You may as well settle it in your mind and know that we are going to live in the kingdom realm, where we will have the backing of heaven when we minister to people while we're here on earth, as it is written in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says, "Receive this truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered to be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you release on earth will be considered to be released in heaven." So prepare yourself. Free yourself of everything that you have bound, Free yourself of everything that have you bound. Free yourself of all of your sins, even your secret sins, your iniquities, free yourself of your selfish, evil desires. And you might say, why? Why must I drop all of these things? Because a lot of you are probably enjoying some of these things. But you want to know why? Because it's time to move up. It's time to come up higher. Because the glory is coming. Our spiritual senses are about to be opened so that we can see the things of heaven clearly and perfectly. It is another upper room experience. But like I said, this move will be much greater than the first. This will be the fulfillment of Joel 2, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." Listen to me. A small portion of that happened on the day of Pentecost, but not all of it. We have not experienced God pouring out his spirit upon all flesh yet. He said all flesh, but he's going to with this new upper room experience that's coming. The Spirit of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The Lord often used an upper room for many things in the Old Testament, as well as the upper room we know about in the New Testament, where the disciples of the Lord gathered together when they were endued with power from on high, according to the words of Jesus, remember? And this is what Jesus said. Well, actually, Jesus said this for them to be go to the city to be endued. He said that to over 500 people. But out of 500 people or so, only 120 actually went into the city and waited. Only 120 were obedient. Think about it. Luke 24, verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." The place where they tarried was the upper room in the city of Jerusalem. The promise that they were waiting for was the Holy Spirit. The 120 obeyed the Lord, and they were rewarded because it happened. They were indeed endued with Holy Spirit and fire power from on high, as it is written in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was an upper room experience that caused the church to increase by thousands a day during that time. As you read scripture, you will see that God has used an upper room many times for spiritual reasons, like when he's working his miracles or doing something marvelous or preparing for something great to happen. That's why Jesus directed his disciples to follow someone who will take them to an upper room, a large upper room, furnished. He was preparing them for something great to happen, and it did. Mark 14, verse 15, and he himself will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Prepare for us there. They went there to prepare for the Passover. But we will meet in a spiritual upper room where we will partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which is our Passover meal in this hour. But this upper room where Jesus directed his disciples to go is the same place that they were all endued with Holy Spirit and fire power. God prepared a place in an upper room for Elijah. Remember Elijah, the prophet, the man of God? The woman knew that Elijah was a man of God. Therefore, she wanted to bless him. You see, Elijah kept going back and forth, this place and that place, but he was passing her house quite a bit. So this lady knew that he was a prophet, a man of God. Therefore, she wanted to bless him. So they built an upper room just for him. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10. Please let us make a little walled upper chamber or upper room, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And it will be when he comes to us that he can turn in there. The Lord brought a young man back to life, answering the prayer of Elijah in this same upper room that was built for him. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 19. And he said, Elijah said unto her, give me your son, because her son had died. And he said, hand him over to me. And he took her son, he took him from her bosom, and carried him up to the upper room where he was living, and laid him on his own bed. And God brought the young man back to life. He brought him back to life. We must be expecting God to do great things in your life while you are in his last day upper room church. Be expecting to bring people back to life, restore them, heal them, deliver them, and much, much more. Be expecting to do these kinds of things and things that you have never dreamt of. The upper room is a place of prayer and thanksgiving. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, now this document was a document from their government at the time in Babylon, that was forcing the people to worship their gods. When that document was signed, that he, Daniel, entered his house in his roof chamber or in his upper room, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been previously doing. He never stopped. That document was changed, but he wasn't going to stop. He was in his upper room and he continued to pray to God. God's spiritual upper room in this hour is a place of prayer, praise, and worship. No matter how big or small the upper room might be, it is still God's house of prayer. Here's another thing that happened in an upper room. Peter brought a lady back to life who was in an upper room. Acts chapter 9, verse 37. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. The woman was symbolic for the church being resurrected, renewed, restored. Good things takes place in the upper room. There are many lamps in the upper room. We are the lamps that holds the fire of God to give light to the world. Acts 20, verse 8. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together. We are the lamps that holds the fire of God, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the world. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, and out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. God's eyes are all over the world. There's nothing he can't see. He knows all. His eyes and the seven horns are his seven spirits also, which is Jesus Christ in us, going out into all the world. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. It's no longer slain now because the lamb is standing up. He has risen, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And God will send us out into the world to be lights in the firmament or the atmosphere of heaven, to give light to the world. And the light we will be giving is Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, because he will be in us of a truth. And as the scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Jesus even said in another place, you are the light of the world, the light of the world, because we are reflecting him, the light of the world. And Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, rise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles, the other nations, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The light of Jesus Christ shall rest on this last day gold church, which will cause this new upper room experience. But keep in mind what I say. This upper room experience will be far greater than the day of Pentecost. Keep that in mind. I didn't say a little greater. I said far greater than the day of Pentecost. The upper room in this hour consists of all true believers, saints of the Most High, all true followers and lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, people who are not playing games. They're not playing church. They are very serious about God, and they are determined to do his will. There are many churches that God has, or there's many churches that God is moving by his Holy Spirit, moving them more and more into his perfect will in this hour. They are all part of God's last day upper room experience, which will be an everlasting movement that never ends. The upper room in this hour is not necessarily a literal upper room, but a spiritual upper room where other ministries all over the world, big or small, collectively or individually, that God has given the revelation of Jesus Christ to and have opened up the mysteries of the kingdom realm of God is a part of. God's last day upper room is where great miracles take place, great signs and wonders take place. The upper room today is not a physical place, but a spiritual place. It is your position, your spot, your place in God. It is your prayer closet. The true upper room today is the secret place of the Most High God. The upper room today is the place where we all go up higher to another level in God, moving forward on into the glory, into the kingdom realm of God. We move higher. We move forward into God the Father and Christ Jesus the Son. We move into him, and he moves into us, and we become one. It is a place of his anointed ones. This upper room experience, the upper room is the place of his anointed ones, his anointed people. It is Mount Zion. It is his perfect church, the place where we become just men made perfect. Amen and amen. That's my message for today. Thank you, Jesus. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Here's Sharon Youngblood.
Attention.
Calling everyone to proclaim to be a Christian.
Come all ye
calling
Christians.
Calling all the new recruits to the demolition.
Come fall in line.
Prepare yourself for the great commission.
This world is in a critical situation. It's critical.
Rumors of war and massive devastation.
You think America...
Wake up, soldiers.
Wake up.
Sitting on the pew.
Get up off the pew.
The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. God has given us a mission.
We're on a mission.
Word everyone to reconcile with him, yes.
Who will work
in the vineyard today? On the front line, I'll be the first to go.
Hallelujah. We've been commissioned. If you heard this message and you believe the words that were spoken today and you want to very much be a part of it, but maybe you backslid or maybe you haven't really given your heart to the Lord, let's take this time and do that right now. Repeat after me. Father God, I repent. Lord, I'm so sorry, and I ask that you forgive me for all my sins. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross and that you raised him from the dead. I accept and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord, my Savior, and my King. And I believe that he is the Son of the living God. Now I ask that you accept me in your life, O Lord, and let me be a child of God so that you may live your life through me. Help me to be more obedient, O God, and to submit to you even more. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. You prayed that prayer. If you have any issues, if you have anything that's bothering you that you need to get rid of, understand that Jesus Christ is the deliverer. That's why we call him Savior.
I know you were sure.
Hallelujah. He is our deliverer. And here's your prayer of deliverance. Oh, Father God, I call on you right now because people and spirits are coming against me in every direction, financially, mentally, spiritually, and physically. They are attacking me to the place that I'm beginning to feel helpless and hopeless. Many have lied on me, accused me, used me, and threatened me. And now I ask that you fight my battles for me and help me to fight the battles within me. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, my physical enemies, and my spiritual enemies. Give me the strength to stand on your word and put my total trust in you. I ask that you fight my battles for me and help me to continue to walk upright in your presence to the best of my ability. I know that if I do my best, you will do the rest. Help me, Lord. Help me. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. And also, Lord, give me the strength to stand and fight by the power of your Holy Spirit. Prepare me for war in this hour, Lord, and give me the boldness and the strength to stand up against my enemies. Lord God, make me ready, ready for war.
We got the power.
Take it by force. We've got to bring forth the kingdom of God. Cause in these days we have no choice. Cause we're ready for war.
We are united with the power of God.
Oh, we're ready for war.
Today. I pray that this program has been a blessing to you. Tell your friends and family to tune in. We're here every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So remember to check your time zone and dial in or click on the pictures wherever you see the post of today's program. Click on the link and you can listen to the entire show during the show or any day and time after the show. And remember to come and visit us at church. Come and worship with us at 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. We're located in an upper room. And that's funny, that's the name of the message I preach, but we are in an upper room, and we're located near 11th Street, for those of you who are kind of familiar with Upland. Okay, our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday, and we would love to see you there. Okay, and remember, Christian Talk on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Check your time zone, okay, because that's also a worldwide radio program. It's Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, TNT, my wife and myself. All righty, that's every Wednesday at 8 p.m. So be with us and continue to pray for what's going on in the Ukraine. Continue to pray for our nation, our country, and for the many people that have been suffering, Lord, and many people that are suffering in many ways in this country, many deceitful ways that they have been mistreated. In Jesus' name, I pray that all of you will keep us all lifted up in prayer. Amen. Bye-bye.